What else have we learned in the last year or so about safety and tolerability of bevacizumab? Anything new there?
I think we have evolving data about the policy of delaying major surgical interventions. It was empirical that we sort of came to a conclusion that 6 or 8 weeks off of the last dose of bevacizumab because of its long half-life would probably take patients away from the risk time of surgical complications. I believe the BRIGHT data has shown that if you do that, the risk of surgical complications is quite low. And so that sort of crept into practice, certainly, which is the planned stoppage of bevacizumab 6 or 8 weeks before you contemplate doing an operation. Otherwise, I think we're also a little more comfortable that it's not out of the question to use it in patients with CNS, with brain lesions, and with lung lesions, although I still, for example, I saw a patient just this week who had extensive pulmonary metastases from colon cancer, had a dramatic response to a bevacizumab-containing regimen, but they cavitated, and so I didn't know what to do, but my instinct was to stop the bevacizumab because of the cavitating lesions, and I'm still concerned about the risk of hemoptysis in patients with cavitary lung lesions.
So Has that been reported with colon cancer?
No, clearly not. But part of this is, again, this is in the palliative setting. A patient who's doing very well is at a robust response. I'm not going to cure him by pushing the bevacizumab. So again, I think a lot of this is a moving target. And, you know, does what happened in squamous cell cancer have any applicability to this? I don't know. But you still have to make these judgments when the patient's in the room with you.